That's what I'll say on that. Talking about power, and a lot of us would find expression in power in the form of having a job or having options, having opportunities, being able to set up a business, being able to really be a contributor and a player in South African society. And we're going to talk now about how to create jobs, grow the economy and eliminate poverty in this country of ours, South Africa. And we will be doing that this morning with Anne Bernstein, who is the Executive Director for the Center for Development and Enterprise. Anne, good morning to you and welcome.
Hi, Iman. Nice to be with you.
So South Africa needs accelerated economic growth. That is, indisputable. We all know that. The question is, how do we do that? Do we do it through urban development, private sector investment? Is it the way our state becomes more efficiency? The CDE, the center that you work for, has released several reports on inclusive economic growth and job creation. So where would you say in the current landscape, from a policy point of view, are the opportunities for us to do exactly that?
Look, the first thing to say is that South Africa's current approach to growth and employment is not working. We're facing a crisis on both fronts. We're heading for 1% or less growth this year, which will be the third year of very bad growth for a country like this, which is less than population growth. We also have the world's highest recorded unemployment rate. So we're in a crisis, and the first step is to acknowledge that. Then the second is to say that we can't continue doing what we've been doing for the last 20 years because it's not really working. We have to get much higher growth, and that requires a growth strategy that is at the top of South Africa's agenda. In other words, anything that will undermine growth and employment should not take place. And we need a much more job-rich growth strategy than we currently have. We have about 7.5 million unemployed people, the vast majority of whom, through no fault of their own, have had a terrible education. We have more and more people living in households with no work at all. Nobody works. So what's important is to get a much more labor-intensive growth path going, and our seven documents we've released this week, the growth agenda, we're hoping we've chosen priorities for the country as to how to get back to much higher growth.
Some would say we're living in a context where we've never had more well-defined plans. I mean, we think of the National Development Plan. We think of all of these funding agencies.
Yes.
We think of policy moving in a certain direction. We're also aware that we live in a global context where things are bad generally around the world. We have a very specific set of problems in South Africa. But as I outlined, if we have great plans that are in place and we have great options, for example, if people are looking for things like funding, if they want to go down the entrepreneurship route, and I mean, we know the obstacles that are embedded therein, but you know, for argument's sake, those edifices, those institutions are still there. Why then are we still sitting in with this problem?
Look, the first thing is South Africa doesn't have one growth strategy. We have three. We have three competing documents that in many important respects are different from each other. The National Development Plan, the Industrial Policy Action Plan, the New Growth Path. So we're saying we need one agreed growth strategy, which has to say the way in which South Africa is going to get growth and employment is if we make the best possible environment in this country for new firms to start and for existing firms to expand. And there are lots of ways in which you can do that. So yes, the global economy is not helping us. Yes, we have a terrible legacy of apartheid. But a lot of the reasons why we're in the mess that we're in today is because of our own policy decisions. And so we're saying we don't have the right policy decisions in many areas, and we need to actually debate and then resolve on a much more entrepreneurial, market-friendly approach to growth.
All right, so run us through then, from the CDE's perspective, these areas where we have encountered or where we have seen major policy fails.
Well, I think the most important area we're focusing on is that South Africa has gone for what you could call a high-skills, high-wage growth path, which sounds great. Who wouldn't want all of that? The problem is we don't have a high-skilled labor force. And so we're saying we have to have a growth strategy that's appropriate for the labor force we have. And that means we have to open up windows for low-skill manufacturing to take place. And that's the whole debate about so-called decent wages, decent jobs, and high sort of wages. The higher those are, the less in people we're going to employ. So we're really saying a low wage is better than no wage at all, and that it's time South Africa understood the realities of its very underskilled, inexperienced workforce. That's number one. Of course, number two, absolutely, we have to fix our entire education and skills pipeline so that we're giving a much better quality of education and training to many more South Africans. And there's a lot written on basic education, and we can talk about that if you and your listeners want. But in this project, we focused on skills, you know, post sort of school skills. Many people drop out of school. Many people don't go to university. Something like 1.2 million people are in universities, and about 3.4 million people are not in education, not in employment, and they're not in some form of schooling or training. So we're saying let's focus a lot of more attention than we have on those people and make sure that in trying to expand access for them to good training that links them to jobs, we're not making the same mistakes as we've made in basic education, which is phenomenal access but terrible quality. So a lot of to say about that whole area. A third area is very important, which is we can't get growth in South Africa if government is anti-business. And there is a prevailing set of ideas and attitudes that profit-making activities are inherently bad. And that leads to more and more and more and more regulations. And we're preventing entrepreneurs from emerging. We need a whole new generation of entrepreneurs in South Africa. More and more black South Africans who are starting firms, who kind of expanding firms, all sorts of things. And in order to do that, you have to have a much more entrepreneur-friendly, high-growth economy.
I want you to pause there for a second. Out of the three that you raised, and as you say, each of those would probably need many hours of discussion,
right,
because
right,
the issue of minimum wage, for example, is highly contentious terrain. There are, there's evidence for the benefits to workers. There's a school of thought that says that this will prejudice and hurt workers. It comes in the terrain of a labor market that has been exploitative of workers who earn really terrible salaries.
Well,
their working
talk
conditions.
About that, because it is such an important issue. I think South Africans have to say, is it better to be employed or not employed? I'm absolutely convinced, and all our research shows, that the best route out of poverty is a job. And so you then have to say, not everybody can start with a fabulous job like mine or yours. There are people who don't have skills, and what kind of jobs are we offering them? Now, we have the public works program, and we pay people around just under 80 rand a day. Now, nobody goes on and on about how terrible this is. What we're saying is the public sector can do that. Why don't we let the private sector create those kinds of jobs as well? We know that private sector jobs will involve more training, more possibilities of a permanent job, and more opportunities for promotion in time. These are much better jobs than public sector sort of make work jobs. So that's the main point we're trying to get across, that we need to debate this. And the issue isn't just to debate it with the unions, it's to talk to lots and lots and lots of unemployed people who are desperate for employment.
All right, well, let's open the line, 17 after 11 o'clock, to the points you raise on minimum wage itself, but on some of the others where you think the gaps in this economy have been and the anomalies are to addressing the creation and acceleration of job creation in South Africa, and what Anne Bernstein is calling for a job-rich strategy, and where you see that in these three big plans that the government has announced in the guise of the Industrial Development Plan, the New Growth Path, and the NDP. We continue talking straight after this.
Our perspective with JJ.
We're in conversation there with Paul O'Sullivan, who's a forensic consultant.
Krauser was being run by a gentleman by the name of Lucky Montana.
An amount of in excess of 2 billion rand was blown. The gentleman running Prasa acquiring multi-million rand houses and paying cash for them.
Lucky Montana in Pretoria.
If there's a biggest lie, the man you're sitting with.
The man's talking rubbish.
And I think he's right when he says there's not a trial about Lucky Montana.
Power Perspective, Monday to Thursday and Sunday, 9 p.m. to midnight on Power 98.7. Now, we're talking.
A great idea, plan, and infrastructure are just some of the ingredients that make for a successful business. Sadly, they are not enough. If you are not reaching the audience you need, your dreams could grow to a halt. Don't let reach be an obstacle. Give your enterprise access to a power market. Our team at MSG Group Sales has created specially designed packages to suit your small and medium business needs and budget. Email us on info@msgsales.co.za to find out how we can help turn your small and medium enterprise into a powerhouse. MSG Group Sales. You're listening to Power Talk with Iman Rapiti, 9 a.m. to noon.
We're talking about how to create jobs, grow the economy, and eliminate poverty in South Africa with Anne Bernstein, who is the head of the Center for Development and Enterprise. We are on the topic of a national minimum wage, and you heard what Anne had to say just before that break. But part of the other contention is that while government can increase minimum wages, can it artificially increase supply and demand? So those are some of the conundrums that exist inside the debate around a national minimum wage. And I asked for you, if you're unemployed or even if you are, you have